We'll be praying for Brother Daniel. Next Sunday is going to be an exciting day. Men, make plans for Friday evening. We'll be ready for you around 7:30. Hopefully, that'll give you time to get here from work. If you need to change clothes or grab a bite to eat, just come on out. Obviously, all that Friday night's free of charge, so you come. Bring some brothers with you, all right? Well, today I want to talk with you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So find that in your Bibles. We've been working through the book of 1 Thessalonians as part of our message series called Unstoppable. Unstoppable, his gospel, his church, his coming. And we come to the part in the letter in chapter 5 where the Apostle Paul writes to this young church, and this church reminds me so much of this church, where he writes to them and he challenges them and he encourages them with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it's interesting, in the book of 1 Thessalonians, every single chapter, almost at the end of every chapter, there's a reference made to the coming of Christ again. The Apostle Paul was living his life ready for Jesus to come back at any time. In fact, when you read this letter, I think Paul was thinking that he very well could have been living at the end of that age where Jesus could have come back. And of course, now almost 2,000 years have passed. And some folks have said, well, I don't know if Jesus, that's really true that Jesus has come back. I tell you what, today's message is going to make it clear to us that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming back one day. And that's why I'm telling you, we need to be a going church for our coming Lord. That's what we're to be about. And today you're going to see here in chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes to these folks about what he calls the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord, I'm going to explain that to you in a minute. The day of the Lord was meant to get their attention. And I'm telling you, the coming of the day of the Lord ought to get our attention as well. All right, so we're going to see three details about the day of the Lord, because many of my friends believe that there are many signs of the times that are pointing that Jesus Christ certainly can come back at any time. I mean, just look historically. The nation state of Israel, back in the 1940s, something historic happened. It was reformed as a nation state. Of course, I believe it's tomorrow, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu's coming to Washington to meet with our president. You're hearing in the news all about the nuclear concerns with Iran and, of course, other situations worldwide. We need to be a going church for a coming Lord. Listen, I'm not going to dare ever, and I encourage you never to listen to one who sets dates about when Jesus might come back. He warns us never, ever to do that and not to listen to that, but mark it down. He is coming back again, and like the Apostle Paul, we need to be ready. He has given us a mission in this world, and the Apostle Paul challenges this young church with that message, and I think it's the message for our young church as well. So let's stand together and honor God's Word, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. I sure hope you have a copy of God's Word. You read along with me. Verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. Listen, we're not living, hey, by the way, listen, we're not living in darkness as children of God, as followers of Jesus. He's the light of the world. He's given us the scriptures to be a light unto our path. Listen, we don't have to be clueless about this. We can be ready for the day of the Lord. That's what he says. Go back there to verse 4. But you're not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you're all children of light, children of the day. We're not in the night of the night or of the darkness. So, verse 6, he says, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Listen, for God, verse 9, has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing. And I praise God that as a fellowship, you encourage one another and you build each other up. So let's pray and ask God to teach us his word. Lord, help us to understand these details about the day of the Lord today, I pray, Lord. I pray that your word will be lifted high in this place and that people will embrace your teaching for them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Be seated. Excuse me. I just want to point out three details to you about the day of the Lord. All right? Now, the day of the Lord, let me give you a little explanation. You find that in verse 2, and you might want to underline that. In verse 2, it says, "For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come." The day of the Lord. Now, what does the day of the Lord mean? Well, you find the day of the Lord, the phrase day of the Lord, several places in the Old Testament. It was really an Old Testament expression. Several of the prophets used the phrase day of the Lord. Now, the word day in the Bible, the word day can refer to a literal 24-hour period of time, but there are places, just like in our language, when we mean something else. Day can also mean like a specific period of time where someone does something specific. And so really, the day of the Lord, I think the coming day of the Lord isn't necessarily just going to be one 24-hour period of time. I think it's going to be a bigger period of time where the world experiences, here it is, this is what the day of the Lord is about, all right, here it is, the judgment and the wrath of God. In fact, in the Old Testament, the prophets warned the nations and even warned Israel that the day of the Lord is coming. In fact, there have been what I would just call little days of the Lord where God's judgment and wrath has been poured out upon nations and people. But the Bible here warns us that there is the big day of the Lord is coming. The big day of the Lord is coming. And that's what Paul means when he talks about the day of the Lord. Now, this is an unpopular doctrine. I mean, in this day and age, there aren't folks lining up to hear about God's judgment and God's wrath. That's just not the way folks are. Folks, I don't know if folks have ever been that way a whole lot. But here's the reality. Now, I love encouraging. I'm really, by kind of my spiritual wiring, I'm really an exhorter, kind of a coach. I want to cheer you on. And man, I want to encourage you. That's why I'm showing the movie Courageous Friday night while we've got Daniel coming in. I want to encourage you. Men, I want to encourage you as spiritual leaders, as husbands and fathers and neighbors and all that. Ladies, I want you to be encouraged when you hear God's word. Boys and girls, teenagers, young men, young women, I want you to be encouraged. But listen, there are many times in the Bible where we're warned, where we're told, hey, listen, you better listen up because there is a doctrine in our Bible about the day of the Lord. And we need to understand our doctrine about the day of the Lord. That's the first detail I want to point out to you. I mean, the day of the Lord is God's coming judgment and His wrath on those who have rejected His offer to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and become worshipers of the one true God. You know, that's a warning to us. He says, listen, the day of the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. That ought to be a warning to every one of us to understand how desperately the Lord God Almighty wants us to worship Him. And it ought to be a warning to us if we're not worshiping Him. Listen, you know, even when we gather together for worship services at a church like this, listen, we ought not to sit back like we're music critics or something like that saying, well, you know, I like that song or I don't like this song. Listen, by the way, and I know Pastor Derek would say amen to this, worship is a lot more than just the songs you sing three or four times on a Sunday morning. Worship isn't about just the songs you sing. It's about the life that we live. Amen? I mean, we're talking about worshiping Almighty God, and the day of the Lord is a warning to God's creation, saying to men and women, listen, are you taking me seriously? It's an unpopular doctrine. A lot of people want to just exit out of the Bible. They'll say, well, I just don't like that. Well, listen, it's in God's Word. We need to take it seriously. In fact, one scholar said that if you look at the whole Bible, over 380 times, the coming day of the Lord is referenced and mentioned, and the coming of Christ is referenced. In fact, one scholar said that if you take all the verses of the Bible, about every 25 verses, some type of inference or reference is made to the coming of Jesus Christ, of the coming of the Lord. That is absolutely amazing. That ought to tell us that we need to understand our doctrine about the day of the Lord. The day's coming, folks. So as I got to reading this passage of Scripture, and it's amazing to me, the Apostle Paul, he just really writes a few verses. And he really expects these folks to get the doctrine quick. So I hope we can get it quick today because this isn't going to be a full board sermon on prophecy. I mean, I've preached through the book of Revelation. I've taught through the book of Daniel. And this isn't going to answer all your questions about the end times and all that. That's not really what's in this passage here. He just says, first of all, you need to know about the day of the Lord. And here's some things that need to be in your doctrine. So let me give you three items that ought to be in your doctrine about the day of the Lord. First of all, the day is surely coming. He uses a metaphor here about a pregnant woman. Do you see that in the Bible? Verse 3, he says, sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains. Look at that in verse 3. Come upon a pregnant woman. He says, listen, the day of the Lord is something that is surely coming. You need to be expecting the day of the Lord. It's surely coming. Just like a pregnant woman is expecting. Maybe when you've been expecting, ladies, you've said, well, I'm expecting. And what you're saying in that is that you're figuring that baby's surely coming, right? We use that phrase, yes, so-and-so. Did you hear that so-and-so? You know, they're expecting their first child. You know, I remember when, now over 12 years ago, Jennifer and I, we went to see the doctor because we believed we were expecting our first child. And we go in there and we go to see the baby doctor, right? And we go in and we sit down with the baby doctor, and she asked Jennifer a few questions, all right? She asked Jennifer a few questions, and this stunned me. She proceeded to reach into her desk drawer and pull out a little cardboard piece of paper like this. Now, Derek's wife, Melissa, is OB nurse. She's informed me that's called a pregnancy wheel, right? Now, I didn't know what in the world this doctor was doing, but she takes this little piece of cardboard, asks Jennifer a few questions, proceeds to turn it a few times, and then has the nerve to look at us and tell us, on such and such date is your due date. I looked at her and I said, that's it? You're going to pull a piece of cardboard out of your desk, ask us a couple questions, and you're going to have the nerve to tell me that's the date we're expecting the baby? Are you here to tell me, doctor, that there isn't a computer in this office or some kind of medical machine that's going to give me something a little bit more scientific seeming than that piece of cardboard you pulled out of your desk drawer? Jennifer kind of looked at her, kind of like, sorry. I just asked him to drive me here. You know? She's kind of like, look at Jennifer, it's okay, we've seen this before, you know. And so they go in, was it a sonogram? Was that what they call it? Where they go in, ultrasound, is that what they call it? Sorry. And see, it's a lot, you know, to keep up with. And the ultrasound, so the doctor says, okay, we'll go ahead and do an ultrasound. I'm like, that's more like it, all right? So we go in there, and there was the computer I'd been looking for right there. They say, this is the date, and this and that. And I was like, okay, thank you very much. That's more like it, all right? And she's like, it's all right. You know, man, it was amazing to be told, hey, the baby's coming. You know, one preacher put it like this. The world is pregnant with sin. The world is experiencing the labor pains of evil, and the baby of judgment is coming. Folks, I'm telling you, we need to understand our doctrine about the day of the Lord, and I'm here to tell you, it's surely coming. It's surely coming, but there's, you know, really, when you look at the Old Testament, for instance, Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6, wail, for the day of the Lord is near, as destruction from the Almighty it will come. Joel chapter 2, blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Amos chapter 5, woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why? Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light. He goes on, he says, listen, the day of the Lord is something you better take seriously, because it's going to be a day of judgment. It's going to be a day of wrath. Are we ready? Are you ready? Listen, if you've yielded your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, put your faith and trust in His redeeming, saving grace. You're ready. You're ready. But you see why this ought to motivate us to be a going church for the coming Lord? Because we have neighbors. In fact, there are entire nations that have never even heard the name Jesus Christ. We have neighbors who think they know about Jesus, but they've never really heard the gospel. They've never heard the good news of Christ. Folks, that's why we say as a church, we're about reaching our neighbors and the nations and all generations. Oh, because the day is surely coming. And I'm telling you this, the day is also secretly coming. There's another analogy given here. We're told that the day is going to come like a thief in the night. Do you see that? Like a thief in the night, back up in verse 2. See, the day is surely coming. The day is secretly coming. You know, it's interesting. When you look up the word thief, I looked up the word thief in the dictionary, and here's the definition. It is a person who steals, and it says this, especially by stealth. I grew up near an Air Force base, and you'd hear fighter jets flying over all the time. And I remember the first time I laid eyes on what they called one of our stealth fighter planes. In fact, it looked like something out of a Batman movie or looked something like that. It looked just incredible, like something I'd never seen before. And aerospace engineers design and work now on second and third generation stealth aircraft. And the idea is this, that stealth aircraft evade the enemy radar so that they can come upon the enemy unexpected and undetected. Kind of like secretly. Here's the day of the Lord. Listen, we don't know exactly when the day's coming, but the day of the Lord is coming. Luke chapter 17 Jesus said, just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Listen, there were people who weren't ready for the judgment and wrath of God until all of a sudden they started feeling those raindrops, and all of a sudden they were thinking, oh, wait a minute, what's going on here? But listen, it was too late then. As they looked at that ark and it was closed, shut, tight. Listen, Jesus Christ is the ark. He's the one who came into this world to deliver us from the wrath that we deserve because of our sin. Praise God, so many of you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if you haven't this morning, I beg you, get in the ark. Get your life in Jesus Christ now. Oh, folks, that's why we sound the alarm to the world we live in. That's why we're going to church for the coming Lord. But listen, the day's surely coming. The day's secretly coming. But, oh, listen, that day is going to suddenly come. It's interesting here in the Bible. In chapter 5, we read, it says in verse 3, while people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. We got near the due date for Melissa, and I remember it was teacher work week. It was the week before Labor Day, and Jennifer had gone on to school. We lived in a parsonage behind the church building, and I walked across the parking lot, went and put my stuff in my office, and went to the restroom. And I'm sitting there in the restroom, and all of a sudden came to the door a knock. And it was Jim Taylor, the church's business administrator. He goes, Brian? I was like, yes, Jim? He goes, Jennifer's on the phone. I'm like, really? He goes, yes. Man, I tell you what, all of a sudden, a baby was coming. Talked to her. She said, the doctor said to come on over to the hospital. I went over. I picked her up. Man, we headed to the hospital. Suddenly, it seemed she came. Now, with Mark was a little different. I remember that evening, we'd gone to a movie, had dinner, and she said, why don't you go on to bed? I said, okay, I'll go on to bed. And she said, I'm going to stay up a while. I didn't realize that she was already feeling the labor pains. She just wanted to let me get a few hours of sleep, you know. All of a sudden, I felt her waking me up. Brian, yeah? It's time. It's time! We took off to Chippenham Hospital. And man, within just a few hours, yeah, Mark came quick, didn't he? Jenna, our third. The third will be a, you know, piece of cake. But the doctor had this, what we thought was a really novel idea. She said, we're going to actually make an appointment for Jenna. I was like, oh, this is more like it. All right, we're going to make an appointment here. And so we go in. We have the appointment set to go over to the hospital, and we're going to induce labor. And we go in there, and we thought, oh, probably a few hours, right? Oh, man. It was a long labor for Jennifer and the baby, long labor. In fact, it went on so long that the baby doctors actually changed shifts. We actually had to be handed off to a second doctor because the first doctor, she said, listen, I've just been on too long. I'm going to have to turn you over to one of my partners. But then even then, when Jenna finally came, it was still somewhat like, even though it'd been like we'd been waiting all day, when she came, it still felt like it was all of a sudden. Get this picture in the Bible here. The day of the Lord. Oh, the day of the Lord is going to suddenly come all of a sudden. Zephaniah chapter 1. I bet that's a book of the Bible we hadn't looked at lately. Chapter 14. The great day of the Lord is near. So what do we do in light of this coming? I think Paul quickly goes on from his doctrinal statement to what I call his duty statement. He goes on and says, listen, here's your doctrine. Here's our doctrine about the day. Now I want to talk to you about our duty before the day. You go on, he says in verse 6, so then let us not sleep as others do. He says, wake up, church. Let us keep awake. Literally, when you see that phrase there, wake up or keep awake, it is the idea of making a determined effort to stay awake. Listen, we are not to be spiritual sleepwalkers in this world. We are to be awake and ready, serving our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, church, our duty before the Lord is to wake up. It's time for us to wake up. The alarm should be going off. The light is on. We have the Word of God and the call of Christ Himself. I'm saying, church, wake up. Stay awake. Be ready. I'll tell you, there's another duty I see here. He says, let us keep awake. And then he says, be sober. Be self-controlled. We need to wake up before the day of the Lord, but we need to clean up before the day of the Lord. That word sober, in the Greek language, it literally means walk. He's saying what you need to have in an unstable, ungodly world is you need to have, I like this, spiritual poise.
You know what the world is looking at? They're saying, listen, all right, we get your talk, but we want to look at your walk. Now listen, we're saved by grace, not by works, so that no one can boast. But listen, the world that is facing the wrath of God on the day of the Lord is watching our walk. So I tell you what we need to do before the day of the Lord. We need to wake up as the church. We need to clean up as the church. We're His ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20. And then I like this one last thing. Dress up. Now that's what y'all did today, right? You woke up. I cleaned up. And then I put my clothes on. And I'm appreciative that you did that too. Amen? You woke up, you cleaned up, and you got dressed. We wake up, we clean up, but you got to dress up. The Bible here, He gives us an analogy in verse 8. He says, listen, since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on, He says, the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Listen, listen, when you dress up, what you put on is you put on your faith in God. You put on your faith in God. You know, that's the outer armor of your breastplate. What that tells us is listen, we're to have faith in the person of God. That's why on this wall here it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, the same Jesus that called Lazarus from the grave, the same Jesus that our Bible says walked on water, the same Jesus that was resurrected from that borrowed tomb on the third day is the same Jesus that's at work in your life right now. Somebody say amen. You put your faith in the person of God. You put your faith in the power of God. God asked Abraham this in the book of Genesis. He said, listen, is anything too hard for God? We come in here sometimes and we go through our Mondays and our Tuesdays and so forth in the week and we think, God, that's just too hard for you. You can't fix my marriage. You can't deal with my finances. You can't save so-and-so. And God is yelling at us, is anything too hard for God? Man, we ought to have faith in our God. There's something else. He says the breastplate also has love. That's like the inner lining of your armor. You know what? We ought to be reminded of God's love for us, and that ought to comfort us. That ought to give us a desire to be devoted to the Lord because He has so loved us. That's why we love Him. That's why we love others. It's because He first loved us. And then He says this helmet, a helmet that's the hope of salvation. You know what the helmet did? The helmet protected the head. And I tell you what, you know what the evil one wants to do in this unstable, ungodly world? He wants to attack your thoughts. He wants to go after your brain. He wants to unsettle you. He wants to cause you to feel insecure in the Lord. He wants to cause you to doubt your assurance. He put on that helmet that your hope is in the salvation that Jesus has for you. You know, I think back to the first sermon I preached at this church, March 3rd, 2002. It was from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And I challenged our church to be strong and courageous because of who God is, His person, because of God's power, because of God's presence, because of God's promises. May that give you strength and courage still today. There's one last thing you see here. It's what I simply called our destiny. You see it in verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, you know what your destiny is, right? Your destiny is that you won't experience this wrath. Your destiny is that you're going to be saved, that you have the salvation of Jesus Christ in your life. Look at what He says. It says, who died for us so that whether we're awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another with these words. Listen, you know what your destiny is? As a follower of Jesus Christ, your destiny is eternal life in the Lord. That's your destiny. You're not destined for this wrath. But what about the folks who haven't put their faith and trust in Jesus? That's why we need to be telling them about Jesus. Because they're destined for wrath. Don't ever forget your destiny. I'm going to ask the men coming to help us with the Lord's Supper today, if you guys will come on up. I want to conclude the service today observing the Lord's Supper. And in sharing in the Lord's Supper, I was reminded of when Jesus did the Last Supper. And I was reminded of what He said to His disciples. Would you listen to Matthew chapter 26? Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And he says, I tell you, we a lot of times don't even read this part. It fits in marvelously today. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Folks, listen. Prime ministers and presidents and kings can have all the meetings they want. But the King of Kings already has on his calendar, I don't know when and you don't know when, but the King already has on his calendar the day that he doesn't come back as a little suffering baby born in a manger, but the day he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So be a going church for the coming Lord. If you share in the Lord's Supper today, remember what Jesus has done for us. We're going to share in the Lord's Supper, and then the choir is going to sing, and as we finish the Lord's Supper, I'll have an opportunity as our service draws to the closing for you to come over here if you want to unite with our church family today. I know several of you are planning on doing that because I've talked with you. Others of you may be here today, and you're not really sure you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. I hope you'll give me the honor of having a conversation with you after our service today. We invite all those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to share in the Lord's Supper with us today. It is for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is for us to remember what the Lord Jesus has done for us. So today, as you think about your destiny as a follower of Jesus Christ, remember that Jesus is the one who changed your life. Father, be with us now. Help us to ask you to examine our hearts, search our hearts, Lord, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper together. Help us to remember what you have done for us. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.